Hey, Wrangell, it's 1 p.m. on a Tuesday, and you're listening to Talk on the Rock, your community show here on KSTK Wrangell. I'm Sage Smiley, your local radio news reporter. This week's guests are Forest Service District Ranger Clint Coleridge and Tori Hauser, also with the Forest Service. She's the program manager. Here to talk about kind of what's going on in the Tongass. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Sage. It's nice to be here, and finally, nice to meet you.
Yeah, no, it's so weird to have come here in a pandemic and not really know anybody in person unless I happen to run into them. Usually the function of my job would be meeting people in person, like, right off the bat, but that's just not always the case. And thanks for being here, too, Tori.
Thanks, Sage. I'm excited to be here, too.
Me, too.
Go ahead. You go first.
Oh, sorry. For those listening in, you can call in 874-2345 to check in. Just say hi. Our phone line is open on this show. Now, go ahead.
I just was thinking, because we were talking out in the hallway, and for folks, obviously, who didn't get to hear that conversation, which is all of you, Sage was a little unclear which day it was, so I think one of the first questions she's going to ask me are how are things going overall. So I'm wondering how things are going with Sage overall. And then I had another thought too, that, you know, as a reporter coming to a new small town, do you find it that it's a little hard to get to know people because they're all a little worried about inviting you over for social events because you might be looking for information or something like that?
You know, I feel like I've been able to walk that line fairly well, but I definitely have noticed people tend to be like, well, just as friends, off the record. Like, people do say that to me a lot, which, you know, it's a function of the job.
Well, then we have something in common.
So before we get into more Tonga-specific stuff, I do kind of just want to get a sense for the two of you, how you came to be with the Forest Service in Wrangell, if that's all right. So can we start out with you?
Sure. So most folks around town probably know me by now. It'll be 2 years in June, which seems like it's gone by in like a month.
Wow.
How I came to be in Wrangell is I have a friend who's actually had a cabin here in Tom's Place for, I don't know, 35 or 40 years or something like that. So I've heard stories of Wrangell forever.
Yeah.
And for about the last 20 to 25 years, I've been in Montana and mostly in small towns with the Forest Service. So as my career has progressed and was getting to the point where there was opportunity and my experience level was commensurate with looking into a district ranger job, I was attracted to Wrangell, small town, very similar to extremely similar to Montana. In fact, there's a lot of Wrangell, Montana connections for the university in Bozeman and Missoula, and there's a lot of kids go to school here and a lot of folks that are familiar with those towns. So it was just a natural way to go. And I love to fish.
Theoretically, you'd be really set, but the runs haven't been too great.
No, it's been terrible since I got here, and I'm wondering if people are hoping I'm going to leave soon, so the salmon maybe come back.
And Tori, how about you? How'd you make your way to Wrangell?
Well, let's see. I've been in Wrangell for about 4 years, and we came to Wrangell because we were in Colorado, and we had been on Prince of Wales for about a decade before that. And my husband's a commercial fisherman, and he said, we just got to get back to Alaska. And so that's why we came back here, and I love Wrangell. I love being here, and I really enjoy working with my staff.
Oh, it's totally the kind of place to love. So, yeah, I guess to start out, you know, to use kind of a political term, State of the Union, State of the Tongass, what's going on? How are things going in the Tongass Ranger District?
So on the Wrangell Ranger District,
right.
On the Tongass.
Yeah, not the Tongass, Wrangell Ranger District. Thank you.
Put that question in context, because how's it going for anybody these days, right?
totally.
And, so in light of all the obvious things, and I didn't bring Tori here just to have like the upbeat person.
Some giggling.
I'm a glass half full person myself, and you know, things aren't that bad. They could be a heck of a lot worse. I mean, we can talk about some of the positive things. We've hired two new permanent seasonal employees that will start next week.
We're going to
be hiring
exciting.
Two more permanent full-time employees over the upcoming months. One's actually in the system right now going through the interview process, and then we have permission to hire another position. That one hasn't quite started yet, but it's in the the queue.
So what will those people do, the two seasonal people and then the two full-time people? What will their functions be?
So the seasonal are, they're permanent positions, but they're permanent seasonal. So they're they'll be on and usually come on in April and usually go off for the winter and sometime in October. Mm-hmm. And one's a natural resource technician. And so they're kind of a jack of all trades helping out in the field. So they could be working on biological surveys, fisheries surveys. They could be doing noxious weed abatement or helping with recreation if we need. And we do that a lot. So a lot of our program people will help out across programs. So when we have a work surge or a need, people, you know, we'll pull from all programs to get things done. Or they could be helping out with timber. Mm-hmm. The other position is a little bit more specific. It's a fisheries technician. And it was really cool. Both candidates are both veterans. They both, I haven't met them yet. They both had excellent resumes, interviewed really well. One gentleman is has lived in Haines for a long time, so he's very familiar with
Southeast experience. Yep.
And the other one is from, it's I can't remember now if it's Oregon or Washington. I want to say Washington.
In a lot of ways, they're as someone from Portland, Oregon, they're very similar in many ways.
Yeah, and they're both real excited to come up here, and we're excited to have them.
Yeah, that's great. And then the two full-time positions, what are those going to be?
So real quick, the one full-time position is a harvest inspector. So that's about a mid-grade. And those two are mid-grade positions, and so is the harvest inspector. But that's a permanent full-time, so they'll be in Wrangell year-round.
Uh-huh. And what is that? What harvest is that? Does that have to do with timber?
With the harvest of timber.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
And then the last one will be a forestry professional, but with an emphasis on silviculture, and that's a mid to upper level position. So
exciting things!
Yes, one exciting. We haven't hired in a while, so we're
tell them how the harvest inspector is a local hire. That's an exciting thing. It's an Anoka hire.
Oh, yeah, the Anoka process. We haven't hired someone yet, so we don't know if they're a local or Wrangell hire. But we've used our Anoka authority for the harvest inspector. So we knew that throughout Alaska we had that skill set. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to zero in on local population. When I say local, I mean across Alaska.
Yeah.
And so that worked out really well. We had a robust applicant pool.
And what is Anoka?
Go ahead, Tori, since you brought it up.
Oh, no, Dave's going to be on me. Okay, Alaska, let's see, National Lands Conservation Act.
Interest.
Nope, that's not interest, right? Alaska, National.
What is it with the federal government?
Interest, Lands Conservation Act. You're right, it is. We got it.
We do it on purpose.
But it's a really important act, enacted in 1980, that created our Stikine-Lecompte and Edelin wilderness areas, as well as put together a lot of resource programs, like a hiring program for federal and state agencies for local folks, and protections for fisheries, and a lot of really good stuff. And it's just Alaska-wide, so it's an important thing for us.
Oh, totally. Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. So speaking of good things, let's talk about good, exciting things. What are the programs, ongoing things, besides these hires, that y'all are most excited about for the Wrangell District right now?
Okay. So, and just, yes, I do have some notes in front of me, because I want to make sure I cover everything.
Yeah, that's totally permissible.
Project-wise, I'll let Tori talk about Ann a little bit, but and you know, I'm gonna combine. I know Sage has, you know, exciting and then some and frustrating, and you can't talk about one without talking about both.
True.
And some of the ones I'm most excited about do have some frustrating sides to them. But
do tell. Let's talk about the nuanced duality of man aspect.
There you
of
go. So the first one I'll start with is Roosevelt Harbor Restoration Project, which mm-hmm. is our administrative site over in Sarembo, Roosevelt Harbor. Mm-hmm. And as you've probably heard, there's a lot of vehicles over there.
Yes.
Most of them are operational and useful and being used for recreation over there. Some are not. But the whole site, actually, because it's an admin site, we want to restore the surface of that area and change the drainage a little bit so that we're not draining in right into the boat ramp and into the ocean. And we want to be able to clean up the stuff that's not usable anymore. And but the frustrating part is that it's a slow process. It's a little frustrating that we got to this point, but that's history, and we're not going to dwell on history because we're going to look towards the future with this kind of stuff. But it's going to be super complex because we've got 50 or so vehicles that need to be moved and coordinated. So if you think about how we would put this together, if we have a contractor that's going to come over, that's going to resurface and regrade that area, put in some new drainage ditch, put in a holding pond, potentially get an outhouse in there, maybe. No promises at this point, but it's something we're working on.
Fingers crossed.
But then how do we have 50-some moving vehicles that all belong to different people that will need to be coordinated.
Coordinating three people is an
Right, so this is like choreographing a huge production. So once we can get funding, get it under contract, then we're going to need to coordinate having those vehicles move to a different location while we do the work, and then the contractor will need to remove the stuff that's not operational anymore or hasn't been claimed by anybody.
Uh-huh.
And then hopefully we can get it a little bit more organized for folks and a little bit more room and a little bit more cleaned up. But it's just frustrating because putting together contracts like that, finding funding, takes time. So even though it's a win-win type project, it's still hard to explain the coordination that goes into that. But to that end, I will give kudos to everyone in Wrangell because we started the outreaching last summer as far as, hey, let's identify your vehicles, get your information into us. We'll give you a sticker so that we know where the contact is. And we're about halfway through that. We still got about half the vehicles that we're still trying to make sure we have identified with an owner attached so that we can coordinate getting those things moved around when the time comes. And your next question is probably when's that time going to come?
Yep, you're anticipating.
Optimistically, would be later this summer. But we'll see. Because we're working with, first of all, we have to secure the funding, which we don't have yet, and that's usually the biggest bugaboo. And then working through contracting to get that under contract, and then we have to make the assumption that there is a contractor who's capable of removing those things, because it's a little more complex with all those vehicles that aren't moving or running that are going to be removed. We can't bring them to Wrangell.
No,
there's no room for them here. Our city doesn't have the capability of taking that on, so we don't want to just shift that burden to a different location. So we need to find a long-term home, a scrapyard, something in probably down south that can handle that. So there's a lot of layers to what seems to be a pretty simple project.
Yeah, so a lot of balls up in the air.
But I'm excited about that one. I want to make that happen.
I mean, I'm sure plenty of people who use that area would also want to, you know, help make that happen. It's the kind, like you said, win-win for everybody.
Yeah, the community's been great. The outreach has been very positive. And yeah, we do have a lot of support for getting that done.
That's really good to hear. How about other exciting things? Are there other, we mentioned Ann-Ann, right? Tori, take it away.
Yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about the Ann-Ann deck? Because that's super exciting, but also a little frustrating with... And COVID played a big role in the failure to get a lot of contractors involved with that, just because the cost of everything has gone up so much.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So, a deck? Is this a viewing deck for bears?
Well, Sage, have you been out to Ann-Ann yet?
I have not. The only bear place I've been out to is Katmai.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so you're familiar with the construction and a lot of infrastructure set up in order to view wildlife and bears in particular.
Yes.
Well, Ann-Ann's similar. We have a half mile of trail from a trailhead, and then we have a big observation deck on the Ann-Ann Creek. And the deck has reached its usable lifespan. And we we band-aided along, but we really want to invest in a brand new deck. And again, like Clint was saying, the community and our outfitter guides in particular helped us with this new design for the deck. So it's very well vetted, and we're really excited about getting it done. Frustrating part is that we put the contract out and we didn't get a lot of response from that. And that's challenging. It's a big project. It's mm-hmm. complex. And probably, you know, there was some concern. Plus, like Clint was saying, with COVID, lumber costs, and I just looked this up. It's very interesting. I asked Johnson's, and they said, yep, plywood has gone up 2.5 times
wow.
over the last year, just 1 year. And just regular lumber has gone up 2 times. So with price changes that huge, people have a hard time knowing what to bid. So that's been a challenge. But good news, we're putting her out again. And we're going to try again. And we have restructured the contract a little bit. So companies out there, I hope you're listening. And I really hope that you'll we'll look at this contract again. It's a great opportunity, and it will really, really affect Wrangell and people's ability to view bears at Ann-Ann.
Yes, help us get a new bear deck. Help yes. me get down to Ann-Ann and see the bears at Ann-Ann.
Sage, one other cool thing at Ann-Ann is that we did get a contract for a brand new trail, so that half mile of trail, and that's going to start within a month.
Oh,
so,
exciting new development.
Yes. And so in our, it's Ketchikan Ready Mix. So if people see them coming into town, they're coming and gathering, getting ready for that contract and doing that trail works.
That's super
fantastic.
Exciting.
Do you want to talk about Great American Outdoors Act for a couple minutes?
Sure. Sure. So part of COVID is trying to stimulate our economy. And so back in August, the Senate and Congress passed the Great American Outdoors Act, mm-hmm. which is a big stimulus package, mostly for the Park Service, but they brought in all of the land management agencies. And it puts a really sizable investment into maintaining all the facilities that we have. So it's really supposed to be maintaining structures. So we all put up our heads together and said, what projects can we do in Wrangell? You know, we got this big list. And then we carefully tried to narrow that down. And some of the projects that we put on the list, we had to put in and compete against everybody else in Alaska. But some of our projects are the Roosevelt parking area that Clint was talking about, Rainbow Falls Trail. It's a big one close to my heart, which hopefully we'll start doing some work on very soon. Kunk Lake, it's another trail that's across on Edelin. Let's see, we asked for funds to maintain cabins as just sort of a general to help us do that. We have a kind of a project to put some new gravel on some of our picnic areas. It's the Ann-Ann deck is in there. So it's a lot of projects for this area.
I mean, that sounds like a positive that's come out of the pandemic almost, which I'm sure everybody can look at things and maybe there's a couple of positives that have come out of the pandemic. But I was meaning to ask kind of about this seems like a development, like a good development from the pandemic. Has the pandemic changed other Forest Service operations other than, you know, rising the price of lumber, making things a little bit more difficult in terms of getting a contractor? What has changed about your work at the Forest Service since the onset of this pandemic? I mean, we're coming up on the anniversary, like next week.
Yeah. Yeah. If
so tell me about that. How have things changed in the pandemic?
Well, I mean, you can relate it to the rest of the community and everyone's lives. So a lot of the similar things, but specific, and, you know, I'll speak for myself and, mm-hmm. and our workforce. The seasonal workforce and hiring has been the biggest challenge because we can't put people in our bunkhouse the way we've used to or the way we've traditionally been able to do it. So we can have at least 12 folks in our bunkhouse, if possibly more, but there's shared and community spaces in there. So two folks to a room with a shared kitchen, a shared living room, and we just can't do that right now. And so last year was even more challenging because there were even more unknowns, right? Because now we're a year into it. So some of the things are more familiar that we can mitigate for because they are a little bit more known. But last year was really interesting. We used that same Anoka hiring authority, and we were able to hire a lot of local folks, a lot of local young folks that were interested in helping us because they could go home at night. And so you might be thinking, well, how come you haven't always been hiring these folks? a lot of times in a non-pandemic situation, they're not here. They're off exploring. They're in college. They're off exploring different locations and different things. And a lot of them don't come home, or if they do, they don't want to work here in Wrangell because they want to go out and explore. But last year was different. So we were able to tap into that workforce, and it worked out really well. And because of that, we were able to keep Anna in operational, which was a huge success because our outfitter guides, you know, 14 or more of them between here and Ketchikan rely on that for their main source of income. And so without cruise ships, and then if we were, you know, we could have taken the easy route and said, you know, we just can't do this. But we don't ever take the easy route, right?
Because that's, Forest Service goes
that's easy. Well, I'm talking about Tori and I anyway, and the local folks. I would say that's true for the Forest Service too. So that was difficult, and it's difficult this year. And I think we are going to be able to utilize our bunkhouse this year, but it's going to be a little different. So we are able to bring back some folks, but we're going to pot them up. So they're going to be a work group that are going to only work together. And so the whole Annan crew will be in our bunkhouse this year. Theoretically, we haven't finalized this plan yet. So in theory, so they'll be what we'll call a pod or a work pod. And then we'll try not to, we won't try, we will do. So unfortunately, they won't be able to do the cross training and helping out in other programs because we want to try to keep groups of people kind of separate from that thing. And of course, it's sense. You know, it's all based on good faith, and because we don't control them in the afternoons and evenings on their own time, and nor should we. But we know a lot of these folks, and they've come back year after year, and we think we have a great crew, and so that is one step forward. But just us as a Forest Service family, you know, not all being in the office together, not being able to have face-to-face meetings, not being able to have a Friday afternoon safety meeting at the, you know, at the Totem. Local establishment. So that's tough on morale because we like to have those occasional Friday afternoon safety meetings and interact with our community.
Safety meetings.
Yes, in quotes. So engaging with the public as well. I mean, everyone knows the office has been closed, but we're not closed for business. So I want to make sure that's clear to everyone. We still administer our permits. We still accommodate folks. We just don't do it in traditional ways. So maybe instead of working in the lobby, we meet folks outside in the parking lot, or we've even had folks come up to the windows like a drive-through a few times. You know, it's like whatever it takes. You know, we're not going to stop customer service,
No. But
we're going to find ways to do it that's safe and good for the community and good for the employees.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of adaptations that need to be made during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Some of which are a little more odd than others.
Oh. Can I add a couple of things to that just while we're still
on
that subject? Sure. Awesome. One little go back is just on the Great American Outdoors Act.
Oh,
so
yes.
All those projects I was talking about were proposals. They have not been funded yet. The only project for our area is Ideal Cove over in Petersburg for FY21 this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Nemo Road, we're going to get some work done, but that'll probably be the following summer. So anyway, those are the ones that are actually funded, and all the other ones we feel pretty confident that we'll get some funding for.
Yeah.
And then the other fun, good thing that add on to what Clint's saying is the Forest Service in general was able to say during, like, the very, when we really didn't know anything last spring about pandemic and how things were going to go, we made a very tough decision that we're going to keep all our rec sites open, and that we would tell people, you know, the level that they're cleaned at, and try to have social distancing. And I thought that was a great, that was one of those things that we could give the public, and people really used it. People were out, and they found that their outdoor recreation was a safe place they could be during this tough time. So
yeah,
it was important to us.
I've definitely heard anecdotally, and now from you, about that, you know, one maybe positive spin you can put on the pandemic is that people spend more time than they might have previously outside. They're looking for more outdoor activities. They're using fire pits, and they're using campsites more than they maybe would have in the past. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Sage, I know we only have a few minutes left, but I'd like to sneak in two very quick more good things that we're looking forward
to. Yes, please.
Let's
put some positivity into the community today.
The community, I'm sure they're anxiously waiting for the MV Chugach, the Ranger boat, to get moved. And the latest information is it is under contract to have what's left, Sage, is to have a cradle built to set the boat in. And that cradle is under contract.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with the contractor to extend that because we've had extraordinary weather circumstances, especially going back into October and November with the amount of rain, landslides in Haines and everywhere else. So that contract is runs through about the third week in April. And the last I heard, he was hoping to be here in Wrangell later this month to hopefully just bang that out. I don't see him coming and going. I see him coming here and getting it done and then moving on so that we can finally get that boat moved and then move on with the rest of the really cool stuff that goes along with the history of that.
Will there be a big grand boat moving ceremony, or will it be a quiet affair?
I think we want to move it very quietly to make sure that it all goes well. And then once it's sitting there and looking awesome and proud, then we're going to have a party. And if we can coordinate that with the lifting of restrictions and then have that combine that with a safety meeting with the rest of the town, that would be great.
I love that.
So and one other thing, too, is that we're working on a partnership. We have some partnerships with the WCA for some roads from things that Tory does. But we're also working on developing a new partnership with the WCA, our local tribe, as far as fisheries work. So we know they're working on developing a fisheries program. With our fisheries tech that we've hired, with help from our professional fisheries folks still in Petersburg, to get some grants with them to help get them equipment, and then for them to help provide some trained labor for us for Stikine subsistence salmon monitoring.
Oh, and that's exciting because, I mean, that brings some of the fishery stuff back to Wrangell that maybe left with ADF&G's office closing.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. And then, that's frustrating, too, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they develop their program, then we can also lend expertise and physical help for them to do other programs here on the island or in other places as well. So that's another one I'm super excited
really
about.
Really exciting too. Possibility for partnership. Yeah. Very good. So do you have anything else you'd like to add, Tori, about exciting, frustrating things just going on in the Wrangell Ranger District?
Well, we have a robust interpretation and conservation education program, and it has been slowed because, you know, my interpreter, Corey, she really likes to have those in-person programs, and she's been working on the virtual world the best that she can. But teachers and community programs that are looking for some connection with the science and natural resources, that is something we have available that we always like to offer up to folks. Some of our other things is that we still have our contract with Rainforest Contracting to maintain our cabins. So hopefully our cabins will be nicely cleaned and ready to go for people to use over the summer. And just like Clint was saying, we have a great partnership, a long-standing partnership with the WCA for trail maintenance. And those guys are going to start up. They do road maintenance in May, and then start in June through August, they're going to be out there clearing trails and working hard.
Thanks. Sorry to laugh. Clint was making.
I'm pretending to be a producer.
Little hand sign.
I got cut.
We aren't precisely that constrained by time. I do. So, do you have anything else you would like to add, Clint, about things going on in the Wrangell Ranger District?
Not specifically. I mean, we could sit here for another hour, obviously.
I'm sure we could. I want to make this a little more of a regular thing so you can have a, you know, Wrangell Ranger District check-in every once in a while and talk about how things are going.
I would appreciate that. I think that would be great. I'll just close with, you know, just a shout-out to the community and thanks for everyone's patience, you know, especially with us not being accessible not physically open and not being able to welcome folks into our building. I mean, we have very few people in there. Most of us are under mandatory telework. So just thank you to everyone for your patience and helping us work around that. And we didn't even get to talk about helping ADF&G with the moose stuff we did this fall. They wanted to send us pizzas. It was really cool.
Add that in if you like. We can talk about moose. We can keep going. But
it's just partnerships, and I mean, we depend on it. And I mean, it's a small community. We all depend on each other, and partnerships are huge and important. And so, I just want to thank everyone for their patience, and we'll get back to whatever pieces of the old normal that are left that we can hang on to, and we'll look forward to forging some sort of new normal too.
We can save ADF&G Moose Pizza for next time. Thank you both so much for coming on Talk on the Rock today. I've really enjoyed getting to talk with you.
Cool. It was our pleasure. Thank you for having
us.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock with Wrangell's District Ranger Clint Coleridge and Program Manager Tori Hauser. Thanks for tuning in. You can find old episodes of Talk on the Rock at kstk.org.